about you gotta put it in perspective.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned it. But since the day is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
Line 193 again with sabotage.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
I must say I don't care much for your insinuation or your tone.
Shut your face!
And now...
Honestly, I wish I was more sober right now.
Our feature presentation.
Nobody wishes that. Come on, don't be ridiculous. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is a Tuesday morning, the 12th of November.
What's up, party people? How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good,
well,
I think.
Let's look around the room. Lisa's good.
I'm great.
I'm good.
Yep.
Bean, you're good.
I'm fine.
Mugs, how are you?
All I got to say is...
I know Chip is not happy last night. She didn't get wins.
Chip's Dolphins lost to a team that hadn't won yet.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. It's pretty sad. And I was thinking about Mugs because yesterday when we left, we spent a lot of time this last week talking about how Mugs is digging himself deeper and deeper into the hole with his gambling addiction. And every week he goes, well, this is the week that I'm going to come back. I'm going to erase that debt and be up again because I'm going to make the right choices. And, of course, gambling is hard. That's why most people don't make a living gambling because it's hard. And I know when I left yesterday, there was some debate whether Muggs was going to bet on the game at all. And Chip was begging him to not bet on the Dolphins. Begging him.
Yeah.
Please don't bet on the Dolphins because that's a sure way for them to lose, right? So did you end up betting on the football game last night,
Muggs? Didn't touch the football game.
You didn't?
Didn't touch.
Wow. Are you learning your lesson now?
Yeah.
Are you moving away?
Yeah.
Hold on. Who did you bet on?
I took the NBA.
Okay. Which and... you know... less about or more about than the NFL?
Less.
Okay, so I would say maybe you didn't learn.
Why did you bet?
Why not hockey, by the way, Muggs?
I wish you could have seen us in here. Muggs was reading every single matchup from yesterday in the NBA. And then Dave, the King of Mexico, who also doesn't bet on the NBA because it's absurd, would give him a, that's not a very good gam. So Muggs would move on.
So I didn't touch the NHL, Bean. That didn't work out so well.
That's a sport you know something about. Maybe that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, but, it all depends. I think NHL is kind of like basketball in the fact that you could have a better team and a worse team, but anybody really could kind of win.
Right.
That's true in any sport, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
But all I got to say is, wow!
Oh, you won!
What?
Wow! Yeah!
Say you're out of the
completely?
Hole?
Out of the hole completely and up $174.
What?
I do not owe anybody $1,500 and I'm up $174. NBA, baby! Woo!
So you won $1,674?
That is correct, Kevin.
What?
Wow!
Five-team parlay.
What?
Five-team parlay. I just picked all winners, just straight up. No spreads, no anything. No,
just whoever's
going
to win.
Just whoever's going to win.
He's learned nothing.
And all five teams won.
It's worse than he's learned nothing. This is the worst thing that could happen to him.
Absolutely.
Because now he's in the back of his mind, he's got that confidence that no matter how deep, the hole is he's digging, matter how deep that is, he can get out with one bet.
He just had sex with the hottest chick he'll ever have sex with in his life, and the rest of his life he'll be chasing that high, and it'll never happen again.
This is just like Vegas. You go to Vegas and you win, it'll subsidize the next 30 trips where you lose.
This is awesome. It's easy now.
Yeah.
NBA. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All I did was pick the winners, and they did, and they won. That was great.
So, by the way, Dave the King of Mexico gave you every answer.
No, he didn't. He only gave me the Clippers, and he gave me the Clippers. Actually, he gave me 3 out of the 5. I'll give it to him.
Okay.
I have to give him a percentage.
So what's his cut? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
He said 10%, so I guess I have to give him 10%.
Well, I guess that would be fair.
At this point, it's everybody's a winner.
How funny was it when you were watching the Clipper game last night, though?
Do you know what's funny about that,
Kevin?
When
the Timberwolves had like 6 shots.
I'm sorry, who, Kevin? I'm sorry, who?
The Timberwolves.
Right.
Thank you.
According to Dave, the King of Mexico had, 3 or 4 shots
good close shots in the last 5 seconds.
Here's the thing, Kevin. I went to bed at 3 in the afternoon last night. I didn't want to watch any of the games.
3 in the afternoon?
Yeah. I went to bed. I woke up at 11 o'clock at night. I checked my phone, and that's when the good news came in.
Boom.
And boom.
You win.
Wow. And I won.
All right, so we got to move on. We have a very busy show today, but I have to ask you this, Muggs. Have you learned your lesson? Now you're out of the hole. You're not going to go near that demon gambling anymore, lest you get back into trouble again. Or are you now, you realize that you're the best NBA game picker in the world, and you're going to quit this job and make a living doing it?
What I've learned is that football is impossible, and NBA is easy, and I just found my new... I just found my new lease.
There
on
you
life.
Go. That's a good lesson because NBA is easy to bet on.
Yes.
Oh, it's the worst thing that could happen to him. I love it.
I did not expect this.
He will be dead by Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, things are going to go bad. Because I just feel like, Muggs, you fell asleep while you were driving and you woke up in a ditch, but thank God you're alive, so you're going to make sure to never get behind the wheel drowsy again. Oh, no, wait, I'm going to go out and drive all night, every night for the rest of my life. That's the decision.
Because what could happen to me if I drive when I'm tired?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Right, right.
Clearly. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
Hey, what's up, you half N-word piece of black? I want a blank in your mouth. Uh-huh. I'm going to slap your blank mouth. I'm going to slap your real mother across the face. Uh-huh. Laughter. I will kill you.
Okay. Seems a little strong, but okay. Comedian Rob Delaney will be on the program today.
Oh, I love him so much.
He's written a book that the title is longer than the actual book. Mm-hmm. Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior. And then it goes on for about 15 different words. I don't have any idea. We also have Dennis Hoff on the program today, who's running the Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
I remember him from his reality show.
Yep. Was to talk about, I believe he wants to talk about Justin Bieber.
Really?
Well, Justin Bieber went to a prostitution house in Brazil, if you believe the reports.
Right.
And he'd like to suggest that perhaps there are safer ways to do that.
Okay.
I want to talk to him about why he's the luckiest guy in the world that he has so little competition in the biggest moneymaker in history.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane. I mean, every single day, if I were Dennis Hoff, I would wake up and thank my lucky stars that Clark County, Nevada does not allow prostitution.
We also are going to talk about a guy who protested something, and the way he did it is awesome. He nailed his testicles to the ground. And there's a close-up photo. And I'm sure whatever cause that he was, you know, working on, I'm sure that showed him.
Yep.
But that is ugly. It's ugly.
Oh, my God.
And you don't want to see it.
I'm not.
We're
going
to force you to look.
No.
You have to
look. Everybody has that category of stories that they don't want to have anything to do with. This is mine. I refuse to read the article. I don't want to hear the tape. I don't want to see the pictures. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
You'll thank me. You'll thank me.
That isn't good for you.
No, that's true. You were surprised by what you did when you were blacked out. We're going to take your calls coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So, funny enough, everybody but Beat on this show has those stories.
Yeah.
And we also have your tickets for we have actually Call of Duty Ghosts, the Prestige Edition.
Oh, cool.
We're giving away today. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin Abito Show at 5:54.
By the way, yesterday morning, right here on the program, we debuted the details on night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. If you weren't with us yesterday, you should definitely head over to krock.com. Make sure you are a street team member so you can buy those tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. Arcade Fire is on the bill this year. Also, Phoenix, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, Lord, Portugal the Man, Fitz and the Tantrums, or Kevin's band Fritz and the Tantrums. They'll be there too. Atlas, Genius, and Bastille. It's a great, great lineup. And again, tickets go on sale this Friday, so you definitely want to get over to krock.com.
I'll tell you, both nights for me are awesome.
No kidding. I agree.
Looking at AFI and Queens of the Stone Age and stuff, it just looks amazing.
It's insane. Hey, Ralph is out one more day. He is flying home today from making that movie appearance for Kevin Smith, so he will be back with the Showbiz Beat tomorrow. In the meantime, we are filling in. Guys, is there any comedy character in movies that you can think of that you like more than Ron Burgundy?
No. Nope.
I mean, honestly, in the history of movies, I think Ron Burgundy may be my favorite comedic character ever. And it's been so great knowing that the movie is coming out next month, Anchorman 2, and the publicity that he's been doing. And we've talked about the Dodge Durango commercials and the commercial that he put out for his book. And now he's got that Sports Center audition. Have you seen that yet?
Yep, for ESPN. It's funny.
And he was in character, Will Ferrell, as Ron Burgundy for the European MTV Awards over the weekend. And he did a series of bits for the show from Amsterdam. And I brought in a little bit for you because he is trying to show, you know, trying to introduce the world to Amsterdam. And, of course, he gets it all wrong.
I'm Ron Burgundy coming to you from Europe's greatest city that isn't London or Paris or Copenhagen, cake and bacon. That's a pastry, right?
That is a pastry. So he's on a boat going down one of the riverways through Amsterdam, and some people start yelling at him from the shore.
Hey! Oh, hey! There's some patriots right over there. Fellow Americans, how are you?
Here's that asshole, Ron Burgundy.
I don't think they meant that. I don't think they recognize it's me. Anyway, city of culture. Miller of winds, cobbler of clogs, by the cheese wheel of old Amsterdam. Envelop us in your beauty.
And then he and Daft Punk get off the boat and start bicycling around the city. He's on a bicycle built for three with Daft Punk, and then he's taking them out for pastries and coffee, and they go to the clog shop. And, of course, he just doesn't understand Daft Punk at all. Like, why are these guys in robot suits and they won't talk to me? It just is.
He's just the best.
And I know that they have writers and, you know, Will writes some of it and Adam McKay does. But he also is just the greatest on his feet ad-libber of all time.
He creates that character, and then he's just so funny in it.
He is that character.
Responding to people, yeah.
And I just can't wait for that movie. I'm going to line up after the show today and get in line for Anchorman 2.
Do you have kids and you're looking for something to get for them for Christmas now that it's, you know, practically Thanksgiving?
Sure. Yeah.
How about a book? Hollywood Reporter says Ilvis just signed with Simon & Schuster to turn What Does the Fox Say into a children's book.
Really?
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, totally. I can see that unless you want your kids to not walk around thinking that a fox says...
What the fox say?
That's what your kids are going to be saying. They're not going to get to the end of it.
I wonder if it's going to be like one of those speak and spell books where you push a button, you open every page and push this button to hear what the dog says, and, you know, kind of like we had when we were growing.
What the fox say?
Happy, happy, happy. Good idea. Happy, 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 ho. Happy,
happy, happy, ho. What the fox say? But this could have no other animals. It could just be the fox and then one of the answers, and then the fox and then another one of the answers in the next page. You're all getting it, just so you know.
It's interesting you bring that up because, you know, a lot of pop stars, they look for ways to make money outside of their music. Especially, you know, Ylvis isn't selling a lot of records. They're getting a lot of views on YouTube. But, you know, that's a great new income stream for them making a book. I saw this article this morning about how Adele won't do any commercial advertising. She thought about it. She was very close to doing a campaign with L'Oreal. That's the people who do the hair color.
Right.
Very close to that deal. Then she changed her mind and said that she doesn't want to taint or compromise her integrity as an artist. I think it's shameful when you sell out. It depends on what kind of artist you want to be. But I don't want my name anywhere near another brand. I don't want to be tainted or haunted, says Adele. And Adele is such a curious case because she does everything kind of the opposite of the way most pop stars do.
Yeah, and unabashedly, too. She's very, very proud of the way she does stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely speaks her mind. She's not trying to be politically correct. She's not, you know, trying to fit into whatever Christina Aguilera or Katy Perry is wearing, obviously. I mean, she just is doing it her way, and it is working for her. And it's so rare to see an artist. I'm not saying it's good or bad to have commercial endorsements, because a lot of times you make more money off the endorsements than you do on the records. Look, Fall Out Boy may sell X number of records, but they know they're going to get that $4 million or whatever it is from T-Mobile. I mean, that's guaranteed cash or something like that. I mean, a lot of times that's the most of the income that the artists are getting. I mean, Adele, maybe she doesn't need it because she sells so many records. But it's just interesting to find somebody out there as popular as she is. I mean, who wouldn't sign Adele to represent their brand?
Yeah, no,
everybody loves Adele.
Did John Mayer already pop the question to Katy Perry? Better not have. Better not have. This not be a true story.
Hasn't talked to you yet?
Uh-uh. Caused a commotion at the MTV European Music Awards last Sunday night. She was wearing a tiny silver ring on that finger, which is the left fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're not ready to walk down the aisle just yet, but I got news for you. A guy like John Mayer has dated 20 Katy Perrys and still moves on.
He's got to find one eventually.
No, but he doesn't.
I will tell you, Kevin.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think he's a George Clooney.
He has settled down. He hasn't dated anyone except for Katy Perry or no one for the last like 3 years. I mean, he totally went underground. He seems to have had some sort of awakening. You never see him at nightclubs anymore. You never see him in the tabloids. He just lives on his ranch in Montana and stays out of the spotlight. It's crazy what a turnabout John Mayer has done.
He can't have her, is what I'm saying.
Hey, real quick before we take a break, today is Tuesday. That means new things to buy online and in stores, especially with the holiday season. You may be paying a little bit closer attention to what's coming out if you're looking for gifts. Man of Steel, the Superman movie, is out on DVD today. Also, All the President's Men, a Blu-ray special 40th anniversary edition, one of the greatest movies ever made about the real-life bringing down of President Nixon, the Watergate scandal with the great Dustin Hoffman.
Bean, can I just butt in? Because I've seen that movie.
What?
How about that?
You've seen an old movie?
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
Does that blow your mind? That just happened. Did you love it?
I did love it.
That's quite an endorsement. It's an old movie, and even Kevin loved it. That's why you ought to check it out. And JFK Blu-ray is out, a commemorative edition. Now, of course, you'll see a lot of John F. Kennedy stuff on TV and available to buy right now because the 50th anniversary of the president's assassination is coming up on the 22nd of this month. On TV, TV shows on DVD this week, Dexter, the complete final season, if you want to own that. Family Ties, the complete series. Deadliest Catch, season 8, is out on TV show DVD as well. And new music in stores today or available for download. Finally, Lady Gaga's Art Pop is here. The Killers' Greatest Hits is out, Now 48. And Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy. You know, she was quite the singer before she became an actress. Even before she was on Married with Children, she sang with, toured with Bette Midler and Bob Dylan and all sorts of people. She's always been a singer, even before an actress. She's got a new album out today called Covered as well. Today's a celebrity birthday. It's got a lot of good ones for you today, including the least popular friend, David Schwimmer, 47 years old today. Lisa May, Ryan Gosling turns 33 today.
I know. I have a party at my house later today.
The party in your pants. Anne Hathaway is 31 years old today. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace turns 55. And Charles Manson is 79 today. So there's your showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a great show coming up here on the program today, including actress Hannah Simone from TV's New Girl is going to be here, and funny Hannah. Man Rob Delaney as well. What was that? Was that you, Dave?
What, Dave?
Hannah?
What? Did you say Hannah Simone?
Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah Simone.
Oh, I see. I get it.
Let's talk about being blackout drunk since we have Dave the King of Mexico in the studio.
Yeah. Is Dave blackout drunk now? What's going on?
Yeah, pretty much that's a full-time thing. Well, we started with the greatest mayor in the history of mayors, and that is the guy in Toronto. And
yes. Rob Ford.
And they kept saying, hey, did you smoke crack? Did you smoke crack? And his answer was so much better than you could have imagined. Rather than a yes or no, it was a... You know, I certainly could have. I don't know. I was blackout drunk.
Right. Here's a little of that tape from the interview that the mayor did last week.
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
When,
but
sir?
No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
Yeah, I might have, but I don't know, man. I was a drunken stupor. I really don't remember it. I get it.
That's the best thing. Yeah, you get it too, but the funny part is nobody was asking him about a drunken stupor, so he added another charge on top of it, on top of the whole crack cocaine thing.
He's the best.
Oh, by the way, I have another problem you don't know about, and that's that I get blackout drunk.
Yeah. So we started talking about how funny that was, and we were wondering what kinds of things have people done that they just don't have any memory of because they were blackout drunk. And we want to take some calls from you. I know the Kevin and Bean audience is going to come through for us on this one because this is your wheelhouse right here. So you were drunk and your friends had to tell you afterwards what you did and you can't believe it. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sure there are some great stories out there.
And we had a lot of conversation off the air about would you do something that's totally against your nature? So in other words, if that guy was dead set against smoking crack, he's probably not going to smoke crack no matter how drunk he is.
Right.
If he has tried crack before or he enjoyed it or he's got a problem or whatever, then of course he might do it. But then we talked to Dave the King of Mexico. He was blackout drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm not positive that this is completely against your nature, but tell people what you did.
Well, I don't know what game we were playing, but somehow I ended up throwing knives at my friend's head.
Throwing knives at his head.
Granted, I think they were butter knives, but But it's still, you know, like, because we were in the cabin up in the mountains, and I think I was just emptying the dishwasher drawer. I don't know why I was throwing stuff, but, you know, of course.
See, Bean, that's what I say. I don't know. I think that falls within Dave's realm. Yeah, but, dude,
I don't know if I'm throwing. I'm never trying to injure my friends, though. That's the thing. So
you were trying to throw the knives close to your friend's head.
Maybe. I don't know if we even were eating, but I don't know. Maybe he just needed to cut something.
So, Dave.
Knives at people.
So, Dave, was it the next day they told you about it?
No, it wasn't even till a couple of weeks later where they're like, hey, remember you're throwing knives at our heads? And we're like, what?
And you had no
idea. I had no idea.
You're throwing knives at people's heads.
Yeah.
That seems
bad.
That
altitude will get you,
man.
Oh,
yeah, it's the altitude. Yeah.
Come on.
It will, but you've probably had enough,
whether there was altitude or not.
I can handle my, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
I can handle myself.
Right.
Nice.
Tell the story about the pit.
Oh, we can't.
All right. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
You were blackout drunk. What happened?
Well, it started with me and my girlfriend and her parents at the time. We went to a tequila tasting.
Okay.
And I had 4 shots myself plus 3 mixed drinks.
Whoa.
2 of my girlfriend's shots, 2 of her mother's shots.
Right.
And don't remember leaving the bar.
Okay.
Apparently, in the middle of the night, I had gotten up and gone to the bathroom and missed the toilet, peed completely in her laundry basket and all over the floor.
Oh, no. But that's a little bit more understandable that you were just confused where you are.
Right.
Then I threw knives at my friend's head.
Yeah.
Or I smoked crack.
A little bit. After that, she came in and demanded that I clean the floor. I refused to accept that I had done it. Demanded my keys, stomped out front, and tried to get in my car and leave.
All terrible instincts. Wow. Every single one of those is a bad instinct.
Yeah, so I ended up waking up the whole house, and they finally dragged me back inside and threw me in bed.
Good
Woke
times.
Up and rolled over and, you know, rubbed her back, said, oh, good morning. What the hell are you doing?
All right, Greg, thank you very much for the call, sir.
Kathy, you hang on. Yes.
You guys remember that's how Psycho Mike broke up with one of his girlfriends? Is he accidentally, well, he didn't accidentally, he was drunk and he held her down and then continued to, you know, do the same thing on her.
Aww.
And then she kicked him out. He was confused why she broke up with him the next day.
Understand it.
Yeah, he didn't know.
That's not pretty. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Hey, we're talking about blackout drunk right now on the Kevin Bean Show. One of our guests later on this morning is going to be comedian Rob Delaney. I don't know if you had a chance to look at any of his book yesterday, Kevin, but he has been sober for about 10 years now. And the incident that got him sober, realized he was at the end of the line with drinking, was that he got blackout drunk and drove his car into the Department of Water and Power building in L.A.
Oh, my God.
From his book that we're going to be talking to Rob about later, he said, I apparently woke up in the middle of a blackout and went for a drive. For the uninitiated, a blackout is when you're so drunk that your long-term memory is effectively disabled. So you can function in the moment, albeit in a very impaired manner, but you wake up the next day with minutes or hours missing, never to be found again, with the except in the memories of people unfortunate enough to have witnessed your antics. And that's what we're talking about right now at 1-800-520-1067. You were blackout drunk, and you did what? Rob ended up in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, as did Javier, who's on line one. His story found him in the hospital as well after being a blackout drunk.
Javier, hi.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hi.
Blackout drunk is what's up.
Oh, guys, so I have a good story for you guys.
All right.
So basically, it was Halloween night. Me and my friends, we went out to West Hollywood for the parade. And basically, we were having fun. And guys, I had so much to drink that I think I just remember like an hour of that. And then next thing you know, it's 3:30 in the morning and I wake up at Cedars-Sinai.
You're in the hospital. Wow.
What had happened? Why were you in the hospital?
Well, basically, okay, so I guess, well, my friend told me that I was very violent. We were like, I couldn't walk. I was like, how do you say that? I couldn't walk. They were holding me.
Okay.
And his friends, they were trying to take care of me. And then the cops, they spotted us.
Yeah, if they see somebody in that bad a shape, they usually have to try and do something or call, you know, authorities or some kind of
So, in other words, it's kind of you're so drunk that someone's afraid you'll die if they don't get you some medical attention.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, and my friend, he was like, Javier, calm down, or else the cops are going to take you to jail. And he was saying I was basically cursing at them. I was kicking my friend. And then I also asked the nurse what happened because I couldn't remember anything.
Right.
They said that I was so violent, I couldn't handle myself, and I was spitting at the doctors. I was also kicking them.
Oh, my God. What a dick.
Javier, and, I think that night did some permanent mental damage to you, too.
Dude, I don't know. You know, I just know what I know because my friend told me. But
sure.
To this day, I don't remember anything.
And the cops are the one that took you to the hospital?
I guess, because then my friend, they lost me.
Yeah.
Okay. They did the right thing. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joe. He's on line three. He's up next talking what you did when you were blackout drunk. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Morning, party people. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened to you?
All right, man. So I'm a tattoo artist. I was doing an apprenticeship, and we had been drinking all night long. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, my buddy shows up after the bar closes. That's the last thing I remember.
Okay, and then what were you told happened after that?
Okay, the next morning I wake up, and my roommate's like, dude, do you remember tattooing Melvin last night? I said, no. He's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. He's like, it was the worst thing I've ever seen, dude. He's like, you need to call him right now. So I call him, and I'm like, hey, Melvin. He's like, dude, what? And I'm like, did I give you a tattoo last night? He's like, no. And I'm like, I didn't? And he's like, no. I was like, not that I tattooed your leg. He opens, like, he lifted up the sheets and was like, oh, my God, what'd you do?
Neither of you remembered it.
No, and I still don't remember it to this day. So I called him, and I'm like, dude, come over to my house and let me check it out. So he comes over, and I did his initials. It was Melvin Blue. I did MB in Old English letters. But it was, like, the worst thing I've ever seen, man.
Sweet.
So we had to, like, right then, it was still fresh because it had only been a few hours. So I was like, dude, we're just going to cover it up right now. And I had to go like four times, you know, like twice the size to just cover it up. And
right.
You can still kind of see it to this day because, you know, I wasn't very good at the time. But
yeah.
He's let me tattoo him since, but we try not to drink.
The one thing I know is that tattooing and alcohol is a great combination. Thank you very much for the call.
Have you heard of a friend or anybody named Melvin in a while?
No,
it's been a while.
All right.
Although tattooing Melvin, I understand, is playing the side stage of Christmas. I'm looking forward to it. All right, we only have time for one more, and I think it's got to be Heather on line 8.
Because most of the stories are guys so far. Hi, Heather.
Good morning.
Blackout drunk. What happened? Yes. What were you told happened?
Allegedly, it was my birthday, and I blacked out on Jägermeister in a bar.
That'll do it.
Full of people. Got on the table. They've pretty much formed like a conga line and all lined up and spanked me while I was on the table.
They spanked you?
Completely blacked out.
They spanked you however many years you were old?
Oh, I'm sure. I was only like 24, 25. I'm sure I got much more than that. The next day I wake up with fake Jägermeister tattoos all over my chest.
You're right.
So I call and my ass hurts. So I call my best friend. I was like, did I fall last night? She was all, no, there was a ton of people spanking your butt for your birthday as a spank for your birthday.
By the way, if you're a girl and you wake up with a sore ass.
It's very worrisome, I got to be honest.
How is falling down your first question?
I was hoping it would be a better story than that, but apparently, I mean, I saw pictures the next day, I had conversations with people that I didn't even know their name.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's this girl? She's nice. Yeah, you talked to her for like half hour. No.
Sweet.
Heather, I love you. Thank you for calling.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin Levine Show at 6:54.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, I urge you to turn your radio away from the world-famous K-Rock.
Nope, you need to hear this. It's very
Kevin
important.
Kevin is going to want to tell us about a guy who formed a protest by nailing his testicles to the ground.
I think all protests should go this direction.
I don't know why more people don't do that.
Probably solve the issue.
I can barely stand the thought of it. I have to be honest. This one is, I'm a little
Me
dizzy.
Too.
Just hearing about this, I'm a little dizzy. Anyway, that's coming up right off the top of the hour. The beautiful Hannah Simone joins us from New Girl next hour as well. First, though, we spun the wheel of who does the showbiz beat this hour, and it's Lisa May, you guys.
I lost.
You lost. No, you won. Hey, you won.
Ralph will be back tomorrow. What's going on in showbiz?
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel has created an international incident.
Yeah.
Yes, the Chinese are way pissed at him. He did this skit and asked this little kid what to do about the debt that we have. And the little kid said, kill everyone in China.
Right.
And I guess Jimmy said, okay, kill everyone in China. That's an interesting idea. And then at some point later, did you see this? Kevin,
I saw
this skit.
Yes, I did, yeah.
He said, should we allow the Chinese to live? Well, that was
very upsetting to the Chinese. Right. ABC has apologized twice.
Because they think Jimmy Kimmel might be mounting a campaign to kill them all?
Yes, apparently. And Jimmy has apologized on the air. But there were protests over the weekend, and there were like 1,000 people in front of ABC in Burbank calling for Jimmy Kimmel to be fired or resign.
I saw that. Listen to what Lisa just said. More than 1,000 people took time out of their Saturday to make signs and go stand out in front of ABC in Burbank to get Jimmy fired. Really?
Yeah, that happened.
I mean, what more?
That happened.
Okay, so this is what I love about Jimmy, though. He has apologized on the air very sincerely, but, you know, he has a line.
Of course.
And so a Chinese journalist asked him about Chinese Americans who are raising money to sue Jimmy. And Jimmy said, well, in America, we have freedom of the press.
Nice.
If they want to waste their money suing me, I'd recommend they don't do it, but it's their choice.
And then he followed it up with,
hope so.
Ginger Spice is a judge on Australia's Got Talent.
Okay.
And as many of these judges do, she's trying to revitalize her career. So she released a new song, which sold 393 copies in the first week.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's really sad.
God,
and
that's
I can't
nothing.
Imagine why, but let's give it a listen and find out.
I took one.
I was thinking about this. Ginger Spice was one of the Spice Girls, one of the most popular bands of the 90s. She sold tens of millions of records. She has a certain amount of popularity still in Australia. I imagine they wouldn't have put her on Australia's Got Talent.
Right.
That song sounds like it should sell more than 400 copies in a week, doesn't it?
Look, should it be number one? No, of course not. But
the first line is, you cut an apple in half and those two halves fit perfectly. And after the part you played, Bean, there's something about something is BS. And
Yes.
I mean, if you listen to the whole thing, the lines are pretty terrible.
So it's a terrible song. You're saying it probably shouldn't have sold that many.
No, all right. I think that's a huge mistake. Our friend Anthony Jeselnik's show, The Jeselnik Offensive, has been canceled, which is sad. He was performing at the New York Comedy Festival over the weekend and told the crowd that and then led them in a chant, F.U. Comedy Central. So you got to love that.
He is a very funny comedian.
He is.
Anthony
Jeselnik.
I like him.
I'm sure he'll land on his feet. Dave will be excited. The CW picked up all three of its new dramas. So Vampire Diaries, the spinoff, The Originals, is going to continue. Rain, about a young married Queen of Scots, and The Tomorrow People. I've seen none of these shows.
I've seen all but one.
Really? How
good.
Are they?
They're all
Kevin,
listen. I'm a CW guy. I don't know why.
You are?
I do.
I didn't know that.
I love almost everything they put on. I watch Vampire Diaries. I watch The Originals. I watch Tomorrow People. And they're, especially their casting, it's a supermodel network. There's nobody on CW that is ugly or even average.
No, that is
so
true.
That's
absolutely true.
If you're an 8, you're out. They only take 9s and 10s.
So do you and the other 15-year-old girls all have slumber parties and watch CW shows? What the hell is the Tomorrow People?
Tomorrow People?
What is it?
Yeah, what is that?
It's about a guy who... Oh, forgot. It's a time travel show. And a bunch of people who can time travel and he's trying to figure out, and then there's another group that's trying to kill him. It's too.
We got to revisit his DVR.
We really do. What's going on in Kevin's house?
It's not too complex a show, but it's too complex a show for somebody like me to explain.
Do they live in the future?
No, they live well both.
Okay, all right. In the future, everyone's hot though. That much we know.
That's correct.
Too much information, man.
All right, celebrity birthdays. Actress Megan Mullally, who's funny in everything, is 55. My boyfriend Ryan Gosling is 33. He doesn't know it yet, but he will be. Anne Hathaway is 31, and Ariana Celeste from the UFC,
there you go,
is 28 years old, and that's the showbiz.
A listener named Omar just sent photos of that protest out in front of ABC in Burbank, Lisa, that you were talking about. People protesting to try to get Jimmy Kimmel fired.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the signs are, teach kids to love, not to kill. Fire Kimmel for promoting genocide. And here's my favorite. They've mocked up Jimmy by putting a Hitler mustache and a Nazi flag on a sign.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Kimmel and ABC manipulate children and promote racial genocide.
Oh.
That's what they're saying.
Because Jimmy got together with the people over at ABC and they said, how can we promote racial genocide?
Right.
That's so stupid. People are so stupid. The little kid that suggested that we kill all the Chinese so we don't have to pay him
was being not, an idiot.
He was being a little kid. He was being a little 3-year
old or whatever.
He was being, if I hide in the closet, my mommy won't know where I am. That's right. What he was doing. Unbelievable, this protest. Well, stand strong, Jimmy. When you're fired, you're always welcome back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We can't handle that kind of heat. Let's talk about people who protest. This dude is awesome. Now, Bean, I just tweeted out.
I'm not going to look at
listen
it.
Listen to me.
I don't want to know about
listen
it.
Listen to me.
La, 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 la.
I just tweeted out a Huffington Post report where they blurred it.
Oh, okay.
So they show the guy and they show that he's in Red Square, but they blur what actually happened. And this guy's a performance artist, in quotes. And listen to what he did. And there are pictures out there if you want to see it. And I've seen the picture, and I'm telling you right now, you will never unsee that picture. On your deathbed, you'll think, wow, that guy really did that. Here's a report.
This is Pyotr Pavlensky, a Russian artist.
Pyotr Pavlensky.
And as a metaphor for the apathy, political indifference, and fatalism of contemporary Russian society.
So that's what he's protesting. Just the fatalism and the indifference and of Russian society. I mean, okay. Well, it's sort of a vague...
It is.
It's not actionable.
Right. There's nothing you can actually do to solve the problem.
Yeah.
So the guy goes out and sits down naked in Red Square and takes a hammer and a nail.
Stop.
And hammers the nail right through his, not testicles, but his sack. And the nail goes in, back out, and into the cement that he's sitting on.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant as far as protests go.
He nailed his ball sack to the cobblestones of Red Square.
How funny is to hear her say that? He nailed his ball sack.
YouTube won't actually let us show you the real footage, so we bring you our own reenactment of this ballsy event. Footage indicates the nail entered a safe distance from his huevos. Amazingly, there was no blood.
Yeah, that's true. There was no blood, and that's odd. Because you would think a nail going in and a nail coming out.
Right.
I don't know, maybe a little blood.
It is just a sack.
Yeah, it's just skin. Just skin on either side.
I guess so, but it's a pretty big nail, by the way. This is not like a tiny little nail, like a finishing nail. This is like a giant, I need to hold the frame together nail.
God.
But how, this is what I always think about the monks that you used to see that used to set themselves on fire. How does that convince people to do what it is? That just says you're crazy. That's all that says is you're insane and I shouldn't listen to whatever it is you're trying to get me to do because you're the kind of person who would nail his testicles to the ground.
Right. Look, I've always said the same thing, which is you're really only hurting yourself.
Right.
For real.
Like if I walk by and I see you, I'm not going to go, you know what? I'm a little apathetic about government in a country where I have no say in the government.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. I'm going to go, that dude crazy. And that goes for people who go on hunger strikes as well. I always think, well, there's people that don't have food. Maybe this will help. Doesn't hurt me. You can not eat as long as you want. By the way, this is not the first protest that this guy has ever done.
Then a police officer came and covered him up. Pavlensky is no stranger to pain or public displays of self-mutilation. In July of last year, he sewed up his lips to protest the arrest of members of the feminist punk rock group Pussy Riot.
He sewed his lips.
Oh, that sounds worse to me.
Nope. First of all, nothing is worse than... in the ball sack, but he sewed his lips together.
At least then I knew what he was protesting and what he wanted.
Right.
And
and he certainly called attention to it,
and thank God Pussy Riot got right out of jail. Oh, wait.
Shouldn't this guy just get himself a Twitter account or some other way to express himself? Just hurts
then
a little less.
Then in May, he wrapped himself up in a barbed wire cocoon in front of the Legislative Assembly of St. Petersburg.
What's really happening here is he is the worst trying to commit suicide guy ever.
Yes, I think you're right.
Barbed wire cocoon. That's not cool.
Hey, they're playing night number two.
They are, that's true.
Now, do we have time for the New Girl theme song, or will it eat up all of our interview minutes with Hannah?
I think it'll eat up too much time.
Okay. That's my answer. We won't play it. Hannah Simone, ladies and gentlemen, from Fox is the new girl. Tuesday nights at 9. How are you, my dear? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
It's good to see you. You know, we only pretend to like your show so that we can get you to come in studio. You know that, right? I kid because I love it.
Anyway, hey, Hannah, to sit through Damon Wayans. Is that who we had on?
Yes.
We did. We had David on last week, and he was super fun, by the way. We enjoyed talking to him a lot. But Hannah came in, and she was very sad. I hate to see you frown, but you sat down, and you just kind of... And I thought, oh, she really is hating being here. But that's not us at all. Apparently, it's a hangover from last night. What went wrong?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, I went and watched 12 Years a Slave, which is a phenomenal and powerful and incredible film.
But not a comedy?
Not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
No. But I went and I went with a friend. I sat down and settling in and realizing what I'm about to see. And then this woman sat one seat over for me on my right with the biggest tub of popcorn you have ever seen. And she wasn't like sneaking a piece. She was like tossing it in the air and like snatching it in her mouth for the whole film. No, she ran out at one point and came back with like two trays of nachos. And I'm like, what film are you watching?
No kidding. Oh, what?
So I then moved to the other side of my friend because I was like, I'm going to knock this woman out.
Put your friend in harm's way.
Yes. Yes. He later reminded me of that.
Good.
And then I sat on the other side, and then karma bit me in the ass because this. I look over, and the guy next to me is texting and proceeds to text the entire film until he falls asleep.
Oh, my God.
How do you run into two of those people in the same movie?
I don't know.
It's you.
I don't know. So the film was so heavy, and I was so angry for so many reasons when I left.
You're about to get in a fist fight with
why? It's the worst.
I've never eaten, not heard, but heard of a woman who's throwing popcorn in the air and catching it in her
mouth. Circus tricks.
You hear these people who are just... Hung.
And the last 10
minutes.
And it's
like this terrible scene on the theater. I mean, like, you can't put food in your mouth at this moment. It's unbelievable.
And we said she had, like, a beach towel of a napkin because every single time she'd wipe her mouth, she'd, like, pull out this huge crinkly thing and, like, wipe her face.
But this seems
is she not allowed to eat at home?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. What time of the day was it?
It was 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of... You should have moved like 7-8 rows away.
I should have.
Not just on the other side of your friend.
It just confirms why I stay at home and watch movies.
Wow, that's weird.
Weird.
I've been thinking about this 12 Years a Slave because everybody is saying the same thing you do, which is that it is brilliant and just devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks too hard to watch. I feel like I already appreciate that ugly chapter of America's history enough that I don't need to kind of live through it for two more hours on the screen. Am I wrong?
I understand what you're saying. I kind of felt the same way. But then you see it. And you feel like you are just part of something really important. Like, it's an important thing, I think, to watch.
So while it is a downer, it's worth it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just not next to the woman with the giant trash can full.
Just get a copy somehow and go home and watch it in the privacy of your home and act respectable.
I think I would enjoy 12 Years a Slave more if it had a little bit more CeCe, a little bit more Schmidt in it. I think that's what's because you need a little levity. That's all.
That's a lot of levity.
You want to be the comic relief of that movie?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would just junk punch everybody in every scene. You a slave master? Bam! Knock him in the nuts.
So besides your movie going experience, how are things for you, Hannah? How's everything going? How's the little job?
Great. It's going really great.
Are you loving it? To call it a little job? That's sort of demeaning a bit.
No, I don't mean it like that at all. I'm just, are you having the time of your life? You're in season 3 now. Is it, the show's a big hit? Is it comfortable now where you guys are, you know?
Yeah, I was saying this to my friend the other day. It's the thing that nobody tells you is that it just gets easier. You know what I mean? You're hanging out with your friends and you get to do all this fun stuff. You know your character inside and out. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Well, it's funny because you guys started out, it seemed like you hit the road running when you started out. So usually by about year 3 is when that happens. But you already finished that a long time ago. It's been
solid
since.
Well, it seemed like it to us. I don't know how it felt
to us. It seems like it's been that way since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, it started off really well, and then it just keeps getting better.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Everybody says everybody that we've talked to over the years that is on a successful, long running sitcom, they say that you just fall into a groove where it takes less and less time to make it, and everybody kind of, you know, all the pieces just kind of fall into place. Not that it's not still hard work, and you don't still have a lot of things going on, but it just. The weeks get shorter the longer you do a show, I'm told. And by like season 9, you're working like a day and a half a week.
And that includes makeup, chair, and everything else.
Rehearsal, the whole deal.
You actually shoot the show in a half hour.
Amazing.
That's odd.
Sign me
up. Talking about New Girl on Fox with Jerris tonight and every Tuesday night. We got to take a quick break. We got to come back with Hannah Simone in a moment, because the reason Hannah is here today is not just because of love. It's because she has an opportunity for you to visit the set of New Girl and go to lunch with Hannah Simone. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
It's a pretty cool deal for a great cause, and we're going to tell you all about it right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, girl.
That's it. That's all we're talking about.
There it is. All right. We're busy. Very busy. Out of time. Hannah Simone is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. By the way, Rob Delaney joins us in about 20 minutes in studio. Hannah, you probably follow Rob Delaney on Twitter, the funniest guy on Twitter, right?
No.
Oh, you have to. Oh, you're
but
missing
I will
out.
Now.
You're not doing it right then.
Yes,
this is what
true.
I like about Hannah.
I hear that all the time.
Most people would take a beat, and then regardless of the real answer, they would go, yeah.
I like that. You're missing out. Rob is the funniest. Anyway, he's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. Hannah is here because she's on New Girl Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox, a show, by the way, that I found out last week during last week's episode that my wife would set me on fire to get to Taye Diggs. That's what I learned from watching last week's episode.
Yeah, well, I think that's true of everybody.
That should not surprise you.
She's watching that show, and, you know, Jess is drunk, and she's looking at Taye Diggs in her bed, and my wife is going, do it! And I'm like, you know,
screw
this
Nick
is TV,
Miller.
Right?
Although most of CeCe's lines in that episode were men suck, yeah. Men are bad, yeah. Men are terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CeCe's going through a rough time ever since she and Schmidt broke up.
That's true.
She's having
trouble. Well, you say, like, she's going through a rough time ever since Schmidt and CeCe, or ever since they broke up. She found out that he was cheating
okay.
on her.
Yes.
Ever right. since yes. he's a little pissed.
But there was that. There was that. Okay.
It wasn't like a mutual kind heart. Breakup.
Let's just all agree that we should go other directions.
Exactly.
So, Hannah, what's this nonsense you've got going on where you're inviting people to come to the set and go to lunch with you?
Well, I have no friends, so I've gone
well,
online.
No wonder the way you behave in a movie theater.
Threatening to punch people. Yeah, it's really exciting. Fox has gotten behind this, which is really cool. I work alongside, actually, based in Washington State, a great charity called the Pink Daisy Project, which works with young mothers that have breast cancer, helping them provide for their families.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing is we're doing this thing on Prizeo. So if you go to prizeo.com/Hannah, you can enter. Doesn't matter how much you put towards the cause, and you enter in, we fly you out to LA, put you up in a hotel, and I will give you an exclusive behind the scenes tour of the New Girl set. And then a surprise member of the cast will join us and we'll all go to lunch together. And we don't really do this very often, but, we all support this cause so much. So we're opening the doors, to the New Girl loft.
That's super cool.
This cause is not just for the person with breast cancer. It's for the family and other things that they need, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of times those types of other relationships are left out. You just forget about it. You don't think about it.
Yeah, I mean, so much money, and very importantly, is raised for the cure. But for women who are living with breast cancer, and especially when they have young families and all the costs that come with having a family, there aren't a lot of places to turn for financial assistance. So you can put food in the lunch boxes and keep your lights on and put gas in your car. Yeah. Those practical costs. And the woman who created this, Debbie Cantwell, herself a cancer survivor, she realized that as she was going through it. She has young children. And so she herself runs this as kind of like a national resource. She's amazing. And they need a lot of help. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of need.
Yeah.
And a lot of money, it doesn't kind of go in that direction. So the New Girl family is trying to bring attention to it.
Now, you've been involved in this charity since even before you were on the New Girl, right?
Yeah, I actually used to work with Good Projects as a health ambassador, and Debbie won a grant. So I actually got to go up to Washington and meet with her and work with her.
Yeah,
before.
Thanks for coming by. Yeah, thanks for the call.
I was not a new girl, so you were not interested back then. So I'm here now. Yeah, so
that's before we knew you got in fights at movie theaters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's changed everything.
So everyone who donates, no matter how large or small the donation, goes into the drawing and then someone is picked. Is that how it works?
Yeah. There's a random kind of draw. And the more you share the link, there's a link on prizeo.com/Hannah, the more times you are actually entered.
Great idea.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, the more you share, the higher your odds go.
Prizeo is spelled P-R-I-Z-E-O, like it sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prize with an O at the end. Exactly. Yeah. So this tour of the loft, you kind of teased us a little bit with the video on the site, but we get to actually look in the new girl refrigerator in the loft.
Yes, you do. You get to go into Schmidt's room, and I'll take you over to Cece's apartment and the bar. So, yeah, we'll take a walk.
Is it possible to not go in Schmidt's room? Is that your choice?
It is actually a little traumatic when you go through the drawers. There is a lot of weird stuff, yeah, on that set. There
All
is.
All right. You could go to prizeo.com/Hannah if you want to enter for that. And, of course, The New Girl airs Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. So how did you feel, Hannah? Because it's one of the, you know, the longstanding rules in television is you don't want to pop the bubble of sexual tension between two main characters. How did you feel when Nick and Jess got together?
I was really happy, to be honest with you. The thing that I love about the show and that I was drawn to so strongly initially is I feel that the show is really honest when it comes to relationships. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody could see the spark between those two characters.
Right.
And, you know, they're not 18. We all play mm-hmm. characters in our, you know, early 30s. And that was going to happen. They're grown-ups. So
well,
like
we've said that since the pilot, that it was unrealistic to think that somebody wouldn't hook up with Jess in that apartment.
Right.
We said since the pilot, it's unrealistic that all three weren't trying. You know what I mean? Like, if you're living, there's one girl and there's three guys, you're all going for
it. Yeah, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Yeah, I like the fact. I think that if they had kept delaying it, the audience is really smart and they would have known.
Gets tired.
Yeah, they would have known what's kind of happening. And I think she was just really honest. Liz Merriweather's really honest about how she does the show, which is really cool.
I have to ask a question. I know that everybody else on the show is going to yell at me, but I have to ask anyway.
Well, then don't.
What? This is my big chance. Tell me about working with my Taylor Swift.
It was great. It was really great. That was such a fun episode.
Stop it, Kevin. Stop it. You know I love Taylor. I love her so much, Hannah. I want to hear that she was super nice.
Super nice. Girl. She was super nice.
He is creepy.
There's nothing creepy about that. I just love Taylor Swift.
She's 22. She writes like an 11-year-old.
First of all,
you're
she's
not
23.
Supposed to love her. Whatever.
She wasn't Diva Esco or anything, Hannah?
No, not at all. I mean, she snatched up my husband from the altar, but that
well,
aside,
she, did do that.
She was
she
a
did
gem.
Do that.
I'm buzzing Hannah, who I love.
I know.
Sorry.
But you know what? She's ignoring you.
She's ignoring me. She's talking
right
about
that.
The wrong thing.
I learned from those people in the cinema yesterday. You just keep on trucking no matter what's going on.
It is kind of fun when you have a show like New Girl that's such a big hit, the kind of talent that you've been able to attract. I mean, the guest star people that you have had on the show, you know, people like Rob Reiter who come. I mean, it must just be such a thrill for you as a young acting cast to see some of these people that have come through that you get to work with.
Yeah, last Thanksgiving episode when we had Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner and
right.
Rob Riggle.
Yes.
But I remember with Rob Reiner, he was telling Spinal Tap stories. And he,
how many people can do that?
I know.
That's crazy.
And he sat down and it was everybody, the crew, the director, everybody was sitting down like story time surrounded just to hear his stories. Yeah.
Not getting any work done?
No. Huge episode. Didn't matter. Tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I'm sad to say, you guys, we're out of time for Hannah.
Boo.
I know. Boo indeed. Are you you're going off to work today?
I am.
How many episodes do you have left before you guys are on vacation?
Oh, five, I think.
Five more to do before Christmas?
Really?
Before Christmas, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you guys are working right up until the holiday.
Yeah, we are, exactly.
What happens tonight? Can you tell us anything about tonight's episode?
Well, for my character, what
9
happens...
9 p.m. on Fox, yes.
Which is kind of interesting is that Cece and Coach meet for the first time since the pilot episode.
Ah.
It starts to lay a few things out.
They're both single. I know that much.
I wonder what direction you could be speaking of.
A direction that Schmidt's not too happy about. Let's put it that way.
Kids, go make a contribution to this outstanding charity, please, this Pink Daisy charity. You can go to prizeo.com/Hannah. And if you make a donation of any size and do share the link, you'll enter into a competition to win a flight to L.A. from anywhere in the world, which is great news for people listening to this show. Also, two nights hotel, a tour of the New Girl set, and lunch with Hannah Simone. That sounds like an outstanding time, and you'll have a great time with Hannah, but do not take her to a movie, whatever you do. Hannah, thanks so much for coming in. It was great to see you again.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
He is the comedian and national anthem singer known as Rob Delaney, and he joins us right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph Garman returns with the Showbiz Beat tomorrow. In the meantime, filling in for us this hour, the great Ted Stryker from the world famous K-Rock.
Yes.
Hey, well, Ted.
Good morning,
buddy.
Bean, Kevin, Lisa May, Beer Mug, King of Mexico, Christine Funk. You guys have it made here. It's unbelievable. You get up very early,
right,
which is tough to do. You have no traffic getting here.
Correct.
And every time I am lucky enough to be in here, you have the hottest guests come in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Hannah. Well, Rob Delaney's very good looking too. But you have Delaney, you have Hannah, and it's like, what are you? You're eating donuts all the time. You have Subway breakfast. Like, what a life. I come in here. I have to pay for candy bars out of the machine there.
It's a stupid life. It really is stupid life.
It is.
We love it, but it's all absurd.
Now, Kevin, you know I have no kids.
Correct.
But I care about kids.
Yes.
Do you have? I'll move in with you.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
If.
No ifs. I'll move in and just hang out and just be with you.
Okay.
I just want to be with you all the time.
No.
Okay.
What else you got?
That's it. I want to be with you. Rob Gronkowski, is the professional football player. He's on New England. He went to U of A. He's a great player. He's been hurt. He's playing again, but he's... When he's out in public, he's the kind of guy that I don't really like. He takes his shirt off all the time.
Oh.
He's overly drunk a little bit. He's very enthusiastic, so some people kind of like that. But he's too wild. He's in a little bit of hot water. It was hosting a karaoke night, which when you're making, I don't know, $7 million a year, you got to go host karaoke nights, I guess. And he's in a bit of trouble because he was mocking an Asian fan by calling him Leslie Chow, who was the character from The Hangover,
right?
And then he was talking about the guy is great at making fried rice.
Okay.
And then they took the mic from him, and then you hear in the background, it's terrible audio, and I don't have it because it's too terrible, but a guy says, "Everybody here signed a waiver. You cannot put this on the internet."
And that works.
And it's on the internet now. Good. It's on the internet now.
Great.
Janet Jameson.
That's
kind of a sad story. I thought she was doing great. She retired from porn, and her interviews lately...
Yeah, she made a lot of money, didn't you? She was doing.
She did, but
she's a businesswoman.
She's had some real personal problems. Yeah.
Real. I don't know what drugs. I can't get. It seems like she's on something. I cannot even watch the interviews. Well,
and her bad plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Being the worst plastic surgery.
They're
like two giant inner tubes covering her face right now. It's awful. But her ex-husband just found a storage unit filled with all her old porn stuff. And I believe they're going to sell it. So if you would like a used GIMP mask, Kevin.
I have
Christmas
three.
Christmas is right around the corner.
Can you say the D word? ILDO?
Yes.
Yep.
There's a used monkey dildo.
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, what's a monkey dildo?
I don't know.
What the hell?
But if I moved in with you, we could
find
one.
Is it a monkey or is it for a monkey?
I think it's a monkey.
It has to be a monkey, right? Yeah. I'm just trying to zero in on what I'm bidding on.
I have heard, and this makes me sad a little bit, because we've all seen Jenna, who, by the way, is almost 40 now.
Yeah.
I've heard that she is going back into porn.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's going, and she swore to everybody years ago that she would not spread her legs. That's how she said it. She's not going to do it.
Yeah,
she's going back. A friend of mine is already on her no sex list. A friend of mine who's in the business is already on her no sex list, so he can't be in a scene with her.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
That doesn't seem good.
No. It's Kevin, I can move in with you.
Nope.
All right. Lamar Odom, he's got a new best friend and a new hangout partner. And that would be, of course, a man who is now wearing a ponytail, Bruce Jenner.
Oh, Bruce.
Bruce Jenner is rocking a ponytail right now, number one.
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner and Lamar have been hanging out, spending a lot of time together. Bruce Jenner says that Lamar is not smoking crack. They are really getting along great. And Bruce is...
mentoring Lamar, and they're becoming close friends, and he's clean and hoping that Lamar is going to have a comeback into the NBA.
They're like Kardashian survivors.
They are.
That's right.
Look, I hope the best for him. I do hope he's staying off crack, and I do hope he gets back into the NBA. I mean,
I wish nothing like but the best, but do you think he would have gone down this road eventually? Yeah. Or do you blame his whole Kardashian situation on it?
That's a tough question. I think he may have anyway, but they certainly pushed.
They influenced a little bit.
I think being in the Kardashian whirlwind adds a whole new layer of problems to your life.
Definitely.
Inconceivable!
No, as you wish. Hello, lady. The Princess Bride, one of my favorite movies. This is pretty exciting. They are taking it to Broadway, or they're going to attempt to do it.
Is that right?
That's awesome.
It was a great novel. It was a great movie in 1987. Rob Reiner did it. Carrie Ells was in the movie, and Robin Wright and Andre the Giant and Billy Crystal have fun storming the castle, and they're going to take it to Broadway. I'm not a Broadway human being. I have maybe seen two musicals in my life. I will see this.
It's such a good movie, right?
Kevin, yes. It'll Kevin, awesome. Would you see it?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would because I like that movie a lot.
Bean?
Inconceivable.
All right, celebrating birthdays
friends
today.
Don't let friends come see their crappy play.
Ryan Gosling is 33 years old. Anne Hathaway is 31. Radha Mitchell is 40. Megan Mullally is 55. Lady Gaga's new CD is out today. Keane has a Best of CD. The Man of Steel DVD is out on TV. That's on DVD. Dexter, the complete final season, sadly, which was not very good.
No.
And, you know, that does it for the Showbiz Beat, which I have just ruined. I am Stryker.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we ask that you please rise. Remove your caps. And join in the singing of our national anthem.
All right.
Performed tonight by a comedian from Boston who was the first comedian to win Funniest Person on Twitter Award at the Comedy Central Awards in May of 2012.
Joel McHale?
Accompanied by Nancy B.
Oh.
Please welcome Rob Delaney.
You wrecked Nancy B that night too, didn't you, Rob? you wrecked her.
I made a sincere effort, but she wasn't having it.
Yeah, she's a tough nut to crack. We had a go at her a few years ago as well, and we just couldn't get anywhere near her.
Yeah, I think she's still with Manny Ramirez, even though he's not on the team anymore.
True.
She was more up his alley.
Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Rob Delaney in studio with us. He is the author of the, I'll just say it, best-selling book, Rob Delaney, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage. That old title being recycled again.
I think
Hemingway named his autobiography that same thing, if I recall.
He did that. Hemingway. Balzac, Melville, all the greats have used it at one time or another.
He said Balzac.
He did.
So, Rob, you wrote a book. Now, that's a different set of skills than 140 characters at a time. How'd you find the experience of sitting down and actually pumping out a real book?
Well, the first draft was super lonely and scary and awful because I'm used to telling jokes and having people be like, hey, that was great, or get off stage, I hope you get hit by a bus, like immediately. And so writing a book was, I was like, I have no idea if anybody's going to like this.
Anyone in the room? Anybody? No?
So,
okay.
Once I gave it to the publisher and editor, and then they returned it to me with questions like, this part doesn't make sense, or, hey, I have an idea. How about finishing that part? You know, and so then I...
Does it hurt your feelings? Let me just butt in there and say, does it hurt your feelings when you get that sort of feedback?
It doesn't. The good thing is that as a stand-up, you're used to seeing your babies, like, drawn and quartered in front of you. Like, you tell jokes that you think are great, and the audience is like, oh, my God, I really hope you die.
Right.
So you're so used to... So I'm very hardened. I am not precious. Like, I put effort into what I do and I care about it, but if people don't like it, I'm like, oh, I'll just go on to the next thing.
Right.
You know, so that's a good sort of ego reducing thing about being a stand up. And if you don't develop that skill, definitely quit yesterday.
Or die.
But,
yeah.
But writing a book, if you were writing a book of comedy essays or your observations on the world or something like that, then you would be, you'd have full confidence in your ability to know what's funny because you know your voice. When you're writing an actual autobiography,
mm-hmm.
You've got to face that question of how honest do I want to be? How much do I want to admit? And that's what's tough for a lot of people because if you don't admit enough, it's a super boring book. If you admit too much, you're in therapy.
Exactly. Good point. And I made sure people asked me if writing the book was therapeutic for me, and it wasn't. Therapy was therapeutic for me, which I did after the accident and alcoholism and depression and all that. But that was years ago. And I think it's a good idea to maybe just wait a few minutes or a decade before you write a book about gnarly stuff so that you can deliver it in a more sort of readable manner. The book still has to be good.
I read like five or six pages. It wasn't funny, so I put it it down.
Is that cool?
That's fine with me, as long as you paid for it. I don't care.
Of course.
I wasn't going to read the book, Rob, because reading is for losers. But then I thought, you know what? He's kind enough to come on this show. I ought to at least look at it. And I just opened it in the middle, and I started with The Blackout. That was the first part I read was The Blackout.
Why would you start in the middle of any book for any reason?
I don't know, because I feel like you get more of the gist of what the book is going to be like if you start in the middle. I start all books in the middle that are fiction, nonfiction, that are not fiction.
Wow. I think that's a fine idea. I honestly do.
No, because that's a lot of times people will write some sort of a weird backstory setup or some flashback that doesn't give you the flavor of the book. If you start in the middle, you're kind of hitting a mid-stride.
I totally agree with you. Or they'll be like, my parents met on a naval base. And you're like, I don't care. Don't care about your parents. I wish them well, but I totally don't care.
So, Rob, I, you know, am not a Rob Delaney stalker, so I didn't know a lot about you. I had no idea what you went through in the alcoholic years and the blackout and the accident and the recovery. I mean, it was honestly, I thought, this is a joke. This can't be real. This is too crazy. When you start describing all the people that you're in rehab with, the guy wearing the bear mask and the woman with the multiple personalities and all that stuff, I thought he's writing some sort of a weird story here, but it's all true.
It's all true.
It kind of blew my mind a little bit, my friend.
Well, thanks. You know, and I figure if you survive to adulthood, like if you make it to 35, 40, you're bananas. There's something's wrong with you that allowed you to suffer the slings of arrows and stay alive. So everybody's crazy.
Normal people would die before 35. You have to be a little
nuts. Something's got to be off. All right. And so those are the angels that God needs and recalls earlier.
Give us a 45-second summary of that time, if you can.
Okay.
Just quickly, and then we need to take a break.
Yeah, not far from here, not far from the studio, I drove in a blackout into a building, broke both my arms. My legs weren't broken, but they were very damaged. And so I was in a wheelchair in jail, covered in blood, and sometimes I'd fall out of the wheelchair, and my hospital gown would come up and expose my genitalia to everybody in jail. And so then after that, nobody was surprised. Nobody was like, get out of here. He did that? They were like, of course he did. How many people did he kill? And when the answer was none, they were like, oh, great. Well, maybe we care if he gets better a little bit. Or not really.
Wow.
And then gradually I did. And, you know, so that's, I guess, the synopsis of the gnarly part.
Everybody talks about, not everybody, a lot of people need that low point. They need to bottom out before they get clean. It sounds like you're one of those people who woke up from that experience and said, wow, that's really it. I got to get my ish together.
Yeah.
But I mean, is the literal low point of your life, Rob, when you finally get released from the hospital and the police are shadowing you because of this terrible accident that you've been in, and they go to book you, and you literally can't stand up to be booked because your body is so broken. Is that as low as it ever got?
I know this is going to sound crazy, but worse than that was the depression that came when I removed alcohol. Like when I stopped drinking, then my brain was like, hold up, buddy.
Not
and
happy
pretty
about
much
this.
Short circuited.
Really?
So the sort of mental confusion and circumstances after that were literally worse than being in jail. I swear to God. And I know that's not funny.
It was serious depression because your mind missed the alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know how to live without it?
Definitely. I had to totally restructure my brain.
Hey,
pals.
Rob was afraid he could never get laid again if he didn't drink, by the way. Imagine that crisis to face as a young man.
Yeah,
right?
I thought that you had to use booze. Turns out you don't, and now I love to bone with no booze, because then I'm like, look at what I'm doing!
And I'm going to remember it!
Isn't that the best? You feel like, I'm like, no way! A woman is letting me do this to her?
Rob Delaney is here. He is the author of Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage. That's the new book. We're going to tell you all about his appearance at the New Beverly Cinema tonight and his upcoming book signings as well with the great Rob Delaney on Twitter at Rob Delaney. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Rob Delaney is in the studio with us. We had a call set up for him at 8:05. We were going to talk to him on the phone, and then he tweeted us from traffic. Where were you?
No, I live super close to the studio.
Home, yeah. And you said, I'm close. Can I just come in instead of being on the phone? And we were like, well, all right, sure, yeah.
Why not?
Well, as I said,
we wanted you in person.
I had when I sent that tweet, I had human poop in the other hand from one of my babies, and I had like a bottle in the mouth of the other one, and I was just like, I don't want to be around my family anymore. So I just tweeted you guys, like, can I come in?
Rob, you got to stop having kids, dude. You know what?
We're totally going to have a third, definitely. I'm addicted to baby. I love them so much. Look, I can't not have a baby in my home. After we have a third one, my wife's going to close up shop, and then we're just going to adopt. I love babies. I just want to rub them on my head. and eat them and just wear them like a bandolero belt of babies.
Why can't you just love little kids once they get potty trained? Like getting past the potty trained, I would think that's when the kid starts to get fun.
You know, honestly, my favorite people in the world are 1 year olds because they can do everything you and I can do except talk, and it's just so fun to watch them run into walls and stuff like that. It's just like
without
toys
fear.
That are alive. It's the best.
Without any fear whatsoever that they
don't
should
don't even
have.
Sweat it.
Right. Rob is here because he's got a book out called Rob the Lady, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Voyeur, Falcon, the Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage. And he has got a couple of appearances in Southern California. If you want to meet Rob Delaney in person, and actually this thing tonight at the New Beverly Cinema sounds pretty special. Tell us what you're going to be doing.
I will read from the book, then I will take questions from the audience, then I will sign your book, and I will look into your eyes. I'll caress the exterior of your hand for extra. I'll rub your palm, and then we're just going to hang out. And your ticket includes a book, so if you buy a ticket, you'll get a book. And we'll just get to hang out and boogie. And then tomorrow night, I'm at the Barnes & Noble in Huntington Beach.
Sorry, define boogie.
Boogie. Yeah, I guess I kind of ran over that one. What I mean is we'll lift up our shirts together, press our stomachs, and then shake them together.
Okay.
And see who's hairier.
All right, so that's you're hairier, by the way, to whoever
definitely,
you're talking to.
Without question.
New Beverly Cinema, by the way, that's going to be tonight, brought to you by BookSoup. You can go to BookSoup.com if you want to buy tickets. And Rob said buy a ticket, get a book included. The ticket is $30. The book is $25. So for $5, you're getting the reading and the Q&A and the autographs. So
and human like touch.
And
we're going to touch
each other.
Touch.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good deal.
I wanted to ask you, because a lot of times people, you know, the person writes the book and then somebody at the book company writes the liner notes or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever they call those in the inside of the book. Somebody was going to pick up this book in the store and go, hey, who's this Rob Delaney guy all about? And somebody's written a bio of you.
Yes.
And I want to find out if any of this stuff is true on your book, Rob, if you don't mind me tell you.
Sure.
Father, husband, comedian, writer. I'm going to grant you all of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
The author of An Endless Stream of Beautiful Insane Jokes on Twitter. Okay. He is sober. I know from looking at the book, that's true. 10 years now, right?
So 11, almost 12.
11, all right. Sometimes brave?
Yeah, I think that is possibly a reference to me jumping off the Manhattan Bridge some years ago illegally.
Speaks French?
I do speak French, yeah.
He loves women with abundant pubic hair and saggy naturals.
That's a fact. I like those moms.
We heard that in April Foolishness.
Yep.
He enjoys antagonizing political figures. I know that's true because I follow you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He listens to metal while he works out.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I listen to High on Fire when I pump iron all
day. You don't strike me as a metal dude.
No,
really?
Oh, you know, it might be the fact that I'm sober, but like I need something happening in my brain that's bad and wrong. So I listen to heavy metal very loudly every day, and it makes brings me a deep peace.
That's so fun for the children, too.
Awesome.
He loves to fart.
I love to fart.
He broke into an abandoned mental hospital with his mother.
I submit, for my taste, that's the best part of the book. It's like a 7,000-word story about my mom and I literally breaking into an abandoned mental institution outside of Boston and exploring for the whole day.
That's
one of the,
awesome.
One of the best days of my life.
How did you get your mom to do that?
Something, I don't know, the planets must have aligned because when I found a door that I could jimmy open to get in, I was like, Mom, I found a door. Do you want to go in? And I was praying that she would say, absolutely not. And then I could have the bragging rights to be like, I wanted to go in, but she didn't.
Right.
But she said yes. So I was like, okay, me too. I want to go in too, Mommy.
Let's
and then
go
I
in
totally,
have fun.
So we spent the whole day in this terrifying place where they did like thousands of lobotomies. I mean, nightmare.
Oh
and
so
it's been torn
like
down since.
This is American Horror Story stuff. That's what this is.
Come
right?
to life. Big time. Yeah.
Oh my. How does whose mom goes on an adventure like that?
My
with their kid?
Awesome mom. My awesome mom who I dedicated the book to. Yeah, my heroic mom.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
She's a terrible mom, first of all.
She's not a good mom, but I love her. She did a great job for me.
And he played Sir Lancelot in Camelot is another one.
That's true. Yeah, my first job graduating college, national tour Camelot.
What the hell's going on with you?
He's had a very strange life.
Yeah, it's been high octane, I guess.
Rob, weird dude.
Is there another book in you, or did you get everything
out? Yeah, there definitely is. Because although I didn't enjoy the first draft, I loved the revision. So, you know, sum total, I enjoyed the process. It probably won't be about me, though, because I'm not curious about myself anymore.
Right.
I disgust myself now. So, it'd be fiction or essays about other stuff or nonfiction. I don't know.
You're still in therapy, comedy, right?
I don't really go anymore. You know, I would go if I would have no problem going again. But right now, I feel, you know, my baseline happiness is pretty good. And so, no, I don't go right now.
I did get that impression from the book, is that you are the happiest now that you've ever been. And how many people that we know can say that, by the way?
I don't know. Yes, I am. But that's only after some tough stuff. Like, I had to figure out I can't drink. Oh, okay. I had to figure out it's probably a good idea for me to take antidepressants. I have to eat well. I have to do so. Like, the other day I realized, like, you know what? I can no longer eat 5 quarter pounders a day and be happy. And that makes me very angry.
Of course.
But, you know, the older you get,
you're
the more
American, right?
The amount of scaffolding you have to build around an adult to keep him alive and happy is insane. I hate it, but it's true.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Unless you want to stick around and talk to Dennis Hoff, the owner of the Bunny Ranch, with us, Rob, which you're more than welcome to if you have any questions about prostitution you'd like to get out of your system today.
I would very much like that. I mean, I don't know if you were saying please leave, but that sounds fun.
No, I'm saying you're welcome to stick around because we're talking to Dennis Hoff coming up next, so I won't say goodbye if you want to hang out.
Yeah, I totally do. I hope that's okay.
Fantastic. That's fine. All right. We'll be right back, and we'll talk Bunny Ranch right after this with Rob Delaney on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, this has turned into way more fun than we expected today, Kevin, when we came in today. Rob Delaney, surprise visitor to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very funny man, joining us in studio right now and has agreed to stick around as we talk to Dennis Hoff, who I don't think we have talked to in years here on the program. He is the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch. In fact, he's got a bunch of places all over the great state of Nevada, and he joins us back again on the Kevin and Bean Show right
now.
Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. One of my good buddies, John Geronimo, says the Bean needs a tune-up, and I need to take care of him.
Bean needs more than a tune-up. He needs a restart.
Well, he gets the Don Geronimo special, then, if he comes up. Please.
I did see that you were offering a freebie, Dennis, and I very much appreciate that. Hey, I mentioned that we have comedian Rob Delaney in studio with us. Rob, have you ever enjoyed any of Dennis's establishments when you've been in Nevada?
I never have. I was saying earlier, like, I would go there if I could, like, teleport there, but anything that is like naughty, if you say it to me, I'm like, that sounds like a great idea, and they're like, yeah, but you have to get in a car, and you gotta. I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm just gonna sit here and play with myself.
You're just all traveled.
Very,
out.
Very lazy man.
55 minutes on an airline, and every comedian you can name has been here.
There you go.
All the guys from the Comedy Cellar in New York are here all the time.
Pretty sure you just said Jerry Seinfeld goes there every other day.
I can't confirm nor deny that Jerry Seinfeld has ever been to the
By the way, Dennis, we don't even need your confirmation on this because our good friend comedian Brad Williams texted us to say that he's been to the place and he had one of the best nights ever with two of your young ladies there at the ranch.
Absolutely. You know what? One's good, two's outrageous.
So listen.
I love Brad. You know, I like the guys that out themselves. You know, a lot of these comedians, you know, they don't admit it. I don't blame them, but the guys that out themselves, I love it. I love it.
Right, like Rob just said, well, I'm not going to go, right?
Well, no, I mean, but to out myself, I did take a shower with my cousin Matthew when I was 17, and I shouldn't have. I'm sorry, that's like
that's
different
not
kind
what
of
he
outing.
Meant. That's a different outing.
So, Dennis, I mentioned that you've expanded the empire since the last time we had you on. How many places do you have now in Nevada?
I have 7 now and a big strip club, Madame Suzette's Red Light Cabaret. What I've done is during this terrible economy, we're just rocketing because the Bunny Ranch, of course, because of my TV show and HBO and another one on Cinemax. And but now everybody that complains that says business is bad in Nevada, which it has been, except for the Bunny Ranch, I just buy them.
You just buy each place.
Sure.
Heidi Fleiss, you know, my darling from, I think I slept with her 150 years ago or something, way back when.
Right.
Before all her problems, talked me into buying places in southern Nevada. So I got 3 stores a half hour or an hour out of Vegas, and I got 4 in northern Nevada.
What a lot of drama you must have.
Oh, no, you know what? I'm like the dad that gets to come home and play with the kids and have a good time. No, Suzette handles all that. Madam Suzette, all I do is date the girls, and I had the most amazing foursome last night ever.
Listen to Dennis. Listen to Dennis.
I had a foursome last night. You win.
You're talking golf, though, right, Dennis? That's right.
No, I'm talking a Neapolitan, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead.
Let me ask you this question in all seriousness, and you're living the life and you're enjoying it, and I can't understand how in 2013 we are not closer to allowing consensual adults to do whatever the hell they want behind closed doors.
Well,
in all seriousness, why won't Clark County in Nevada come up with prostitution? Why don't states like California that are so broke just face the reality that people are going to have sex and we can make money off of that? Your business should be spreading like wildfire across this country.
Absolutely. Now, here's the deal. Prohibition didn't work. We found that out. Now the liquor business, now that you cleaned it up and got the politicians and the gangsters out of it, put $6 billion a year back in the federal coffers. Weed will do the same thing, and so will sex. Why doesn't it happen? Because the politicians are hypocrites. I go to the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner, and I'm there with Tucker Carlson and Geraldo and everybody, senators everywhere. We go down the list, the whole list of why you should legalize it. Everybody agrees. And then I say, well, Senator, would you mind being the first to stand up in front of your church group and say that? And it's like the best joke Chris Rock ever told.
So they agree with you in person, but they don't want to take a public stance on it.
Nobody wants to irritate that one little old 80-year-old woman, very Christian, and has all these strong moral beliefs. They're just not going to do it, even though it's the right thing to do. And our state is even worse. It's legal everywhere except for Reno and Las Vegas because of population. When you get 400,000 people, it can't be legal. Now, we've got, since 1981, 32 years of mandatory testing, every working girl, every week, no HIV. Las Vegas just arrested their 500th girl working with HIV. Slimy as can be.
Hang on, let me make a note. No Las Vegas.
Now, what about somebody like me? I don't have AIDS, but I probably have about between 20 and 30 different STDs. Can you match me up with a girl who's the same one so we don't...
I can help you. I can take you down to the Buzz's Auto Shine and get you cleaned up a little bit, maybe to a doctor, but...
Thank you.
Our girls aren't going to give you anything, and they're not going to call you, and they're not going to get pregnant, and that's why celebrities come here.
Hey, I want to ask, this is the voice of Dennis Hoff here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch in Nevada. Of course, you've seen him on the HBO TV show Cat House as well. Justin Bieber was in the news lately, Dennis. I know you saw the story about him in Brazil. And I just, it's so hard to tell with Justin how much is true of what's being reported. But you can't leave the facility with the girls like he did, right? That's not allowed.
No, we can. Absolutely, you can do that. And they do a lot of it here, a lot of it. But what I'm concerned about Justin is that the bigger picture is he needs a dad, and it needs to be Daddy D to teach him how to handle girls. Because when you go to a brothel in Brazil, first of all, condoms are optional, which means you're going to get a disease. Health checks are optional, and 6% of the prostitutes in Brazil have HIV. And this guy is...
But you're looking at the negative side of things.
But how hot must prostitutes be in Brazil? Have you seen what regular girls look like in Brazil, Dennis?
I've been there. I've done articles on it for different magazines, and I know it inside and out, but it's a crapshoot. And I think, Justin, maybe he's got a sheet fetish. Maybe he just likes sheets from prostitutes.
Yeah,
beds or something.
Because, he was asleep in the video that we saw.
He went out of the place with a sheet. And I think the biggest thing is, Justin, buy American. Help our economy.
Buy American.
USA.
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 In our remaining moments here, Dennis, have any of the girls that have been featured on the Cat House show developed fan bases around the country, and now people will travel to come see you in Nevada just to meet with those specific girls?
We all have, and it's not just around the country. It's worldwide. I mean, I spoke at Oxford University, where only six U.S. presidents, Mother Teresa and Dalai Lama, were invited. I just spoke at Trinity College, the Harvard of Ireland. Yes, the girls have gigantic fan bases worldwide, and the show is why our businesses thrived in this terrible county.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, we're going to have to let Dennis go here in a minute. Rob, anything else for our guests before we say goodbye to both of you?
I've learned a lot today. Thank you.
There you go.
Come visit. We'll take care of you. And Dean, you get
yes,
the John Geronimo special. Come on.
There you go, man.
I'll see you this weekend, Dennis. Bye-bye. Look for me. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Who's going to go to a place like that less than Bean? His penis hasn't worked in 50 years.
I would go if there were a Denny's next door, I might go.
Oh, dear God.
Moon's over my hammy joke. Just have to throw that in there.
All right. Are we breaking and he's leaving? Is he staying?
Yes,
you
I think
more?
I'm going to skedaddle.
I think we're saying goodbye to the great Rob DeLady. Rob, so nice of you to come by, man.
Thank you, friends. Always a pleasure, truly.
The book is awesome. It is called Rob DeLady, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage. Obviously, that's what it's called. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob DeLady. And don't forget, he's going to be at the New Beverly Cinema tonight with an outstanding event. Go to booksoup.com to buy tickets. Then in Huntington Beach at the Barnes & Noble there tomorrow. We'll see you soon, man. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
I'm just saying, if Acoustic Christmas was really good, we'd have gotten Nirvana. It seems like we kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Would have been hey, night number two just announced yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Arcade Fire in Phoenix, The Neighborhood in Capital Cities, and Lord in Portugal, The Man in Fits and the Tantrums, and Atlas Genius and Bastille. Tickets go on sale for Street Team members this Friday at noon. Ted Stryker, you've been at K-Rock a long time now.
Yes.
Is this 1-2 punch of night one and night two of Acoustic Christmas maybe the best lineup we've ever seen?
I think it is, and it's not just separated musically. You remember sometimes in the past, one night is rock and roll, sure. One night is some other kind of... This is just like great band after great band. You can't stereotype the kind of music, and it's like getting hit over the head with the hammer. Some of these bands, some of these are headliners that play in front of festivals.
Agree.
In front of 80,000 people, and yep. Radio, which is dead, has put the show on for the 24th straight year, so the statement I just made, you know, radio is doing great, and I'm so excited we get to do this show. Yeah. It's huge.
No, it's unbelievable. Make sure you're a Street Team member so you can buy the tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon, because obviously, just like night number one did, it will sell out fast. Ted Stryker is here because he's filling in for Ralph Garman today on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on this hour?
Well, speaking of Almost Acoustic Christmas and night number two, she is 17 years old. Her name is Lord. I don't know if she smokes weed on stage. She does not twerk, but we'll see in person. She covered Everybody Wants to Rule the World, the Tears for Fear song, which came out in 1985. She was born in 1996, and she did this song for the Hunger Games Catching Fire soundtrack.
Really?
Yes, and we have a little sample, which I got. It sounds like this.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yep.
Or?
I like it. Did I like it?
So glad we've almost made it. So sad we had to fade it.
That sounds kind of weird.
Sounds very Lord-y.
Yeah.
Lord-esque.
Slow
Lord-ish.
Down plotting. That sounds good. I like that.
I think it sounds pretty good. It takes a lot of guts, no matter what age you are, to cover a great, great song, especially a Tears for Fear song like that. But I cannot wait to see this 17-year-old play at Almost Acoustic Christmas. Speaking of the Hunger Games, and that was the soundtrack, Jennifer Lawrence, who now is short hair, who is just the best. I'd say she's my top three female crushes in the world.
She's one of the best, no question.
Her skin is flawless and a great shaped head, Kevin.
I haven't gotten around to the shape of her head yet, but I like a lot of other things about her.
It's really good. She'll give you the Don Geronimo special while she's at it.
That's great.
So listen what she did. At the premiere in London of the movie, there was a fan who was in a wheelchair, and she was crying, this fan. So Jennifer Lawrence, she stopped what she was doing. She had an emotional moment with the young girl. She physically removed some of the barriers. They hung out together.
Wow.
She made her feel better. She let her guard down. Jennifer Lawrence just seems to me like she gets it.
She does. She's awesome, and there's nothing bad about her. If it was Bean, he would have said,
ha 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 ha, you're in a wheelchair.
Not her. She's a great person.
All right, how much would you pay, and I'll ask you, Bean, how much would you pay to hang out with Shakira?
Oh, all for me. You didn't ask me, but all for me.
All?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what the circumstances are for hanging out. If it's, you know, if it's
not
just
at the Bunny Ranch, Bean.
That's a hot midget.
No. What I'm saying is if it's just a meet and greet for a handshake and a photograph, probably not that much. But if it's, hey, go to a, go to a football game with her, yeah, I'm in for big dough. What do you got?
Well, there is a entrepreneur named Trevor Traina, started a company called If Only, and this company specializes in making dreams come true for a price. So, the price to hang out with Shakira is, I don't think there's a football game involved, $15,000.
Ouch.
How much do you think it would cost to hang out with Mike Tyson?
More or less.
Definitely less.
Nope.
More.
Yep.
What? $20,000?
Higher.
$25,000?
Higher.
$30,000?
It's like the
50?
Price is right. Higher.
$50,000. What?
$50,000 really? To hang out with Mike Tyson.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
He doesn't want to hang.
Yeah, that's the
thing. He doesn't want to hang out.
I don't want to hang out with people price.
Well, he'll
take
the money.
I saw this business that you're talking about, Stryker, and it is a great idea. Somebody really was thinking to make a business where you pay to meet and hang out with your favorite celebrities. I think that's a
tremendous opportunity. Is it a charity thing or just a business?
A small amount goes to charity. The person that started the company gets 20%, and the people that the celebrities are getting the rest of the money.
How about that?
A couple more people I want to share their price. What's that?
Katy Perry?
I don't see her on here, but Third Eye Blind is on here.
Nope.
How much? How much for Third Eye Blind?
$125.
Bean,
I was going to say $11.50.
You're way off. $2,000 for Third Eye Blind to hang out, please.
Madonna is also for $2,000. Third Eye Blind should come and play at my house.
And they just, Stephen Jenkins may just do it, Bean.
That's true.
Do you live out there on an island?
How much for Madonna?
It doesn't say the Madonna price, but she is on here, as is NFL Hall of Famer, and it seems like a good time, Joe Montana.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, Joe, I was thinking Joe Namath was the good time.
Joe Montana, not a good time. Joe Namath, good time.
They're probably both good times. With Joe Namath, you can wear the running shoes that he's pushing. That's correct. Joe Montana?
That's Montana. You're very confused.
I don't know who's who. All right. Morrissey is paying tribute to the late Lou Reed, the former Smiths lead singer. He performed Lou's Satellite of Love back in 2011, and now Morrissey is going to release that recording as a digital download as well as a 12-inch vinyl disc, and that'll be available on November 29th. A little bit more news here. A guest on Kevin and Bean I really like is Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, he's great.
He is funny. I like him on your show and on TV. His TV show just got canceled after 2 seasons.
Yeah, that sucks. That was a funny show.
It was funny, and in true Jeselnik fashion, he announced the news at the New York Comedy Festival, and he led the crowd in chanting, F you, Comedy Central, over and over and over again. And there's a new music out today. The Killers' Direct Hits is out. It's the greatest hits. There's 2 new songs on there. That is out and available. Celebrating a birthday today, Wallace Shawn, at Cocktails and Movies, let me know it was his birthday. He is in Clueless, and he's also in The Princess Bride, and he's a great voiceover actor. He's the one that says, inconceivable.
Okay.
He's 70 years old today. Ryan Gosling, lovely, is 33. Anne Hathaway is 31. UFC Octagon girl Ariane Celeste is 28. I'm Stryker, and I just ruined the show.
Let's talk about it again, the great Ron Burgundy from Anchorman 2. We have just been enthralled this fall with his Dodge Durango commercials.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about this glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage. 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection-molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits 2 turkey sandwiches or 70 packs of gum. Say what? Look, I'm not lying. Gum for days. Is this a gumball machine? No, it's a Dodge Durango.
By the way, Ralph reported a few days ago that Dodge Durango sales are up like 30%.
I don't doubt it.
That.
Makes people me want to buy one.
I know. It looks like the greatest car ever, thanks to Ron Burgundy. Well, he keeps the hits coming. Will Ferrell was in Europe for the MTV European Music Awards, and he did some promotional videos, and then he appeared on the show. We've got some new audio to play for you here. First of all, he's out on a boat in the middle of one of the waterways in Amsterdam, recording this piece.
I'm Ron Burgundy, coming to you from Europe's greatest city that isn't London or Paris or Copenhagen, cake and bacon. That's a pastry, right?
By the way, you are the modern-day Ron Burgundy, Kevin.
How dare you?
When you listen to him there.
I wish.
So then people start yelling at him from the shore. He's out on a boat with Daft Punk, by the way, and they start yelling at him from the shore.
Hey! Oh, hey! There's some patriots. Right over there. Fellow Americans, how are you?
There's that asshole, Ron Burgundy.
I don't think they meant that. I don't think they recognize it's me. Anyway. City of Culture. Miller of Winds, Cobbler of Clogs, by the cheese wheel of old Amsterdam. Envelop us in your beauty.
And then he goes off on a bike ride with Daft Punk throughout the city.
And it's funny because they're wearing their computer heads, and one's behind and one's in front, and he's in the middle, and they're just riding a 3-seat bike. It's absurd.
It's insane. So then he makes an appearance, and by the way, you can see that entire video at krock.com or kevinbean.com if you want. That's up on the website. Then he makes an appearance later that night on the actual show, presenting an award with the beautiful Katy Perry. Here's Ron with Katy.
Well, hello there, Katy Perry. You're looking quite lovely in that deftly woven haute couture jumper thing.
Well, thank you, Ron Burgundy. You're looking pretty dapper yourself.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere, Miss Perry. Were I but 10 years younger.
Were you just 10 years younger, you'd what?
No, it's just a saying, meaning if I was just 10 years younger, well, you know.
No, honestly, I kind of don't really know what would happen if you were 10 years younger. I'm sorry, I'm lost.
All right, so Will Ferrell, he leans over and whispers into Katie's ear.
Oh my God, that is so disgusting.
Oh, come on, KP, we're in Amsterdam. It's the capital of Scandinavia, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's not really the capital of Scandinavia. But what's great about Ron Burgundy is the rich backstory. You know, they've got that book coming out, the biography of Ron Burgundy, which is going to be hilarious. And now, I guess, Kevin, new video has surfaced of a previous audition that Ron Burgundy did for a different TV job other than the Channel 6 News.
I think it's new. I don't have any idea. It could be super old. I mean, from the last time. But it's the first time I've seen it. And it's him doing an audition for ESPN.
Mr. Burgundy, I want to thank you for coming out here to Connecticut to do this audition.
Thank you for having me.
Basically, how it's going to work is we're going to have you do maybe about 2 or 3 minutes of a mock broadcast.
What is the name of this network again? ESPN?
No, ESPN.
That's a terrible name. Hello, sports fans. I'm Ron Burgundy, here at the desk of ESPN. And there were some things going on in sports today that will make your brain fall out of your skull. We go next to Wrigley Field, where the Astros and the Cubs got together and had a crazy idea. Let's play 2 games in 1 day. Something that had never been done before in the history of baseball. So let's go to college sports. The University of Notre Dame announced today that it will change its mascot from the Fighting Irish to the Fighting Doberman Pinscher Genitalias. Students were outraged at the news.
That wasn't a story that we had on the prompter.
Well, of course, I made it up. Because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blown in the wind. I'm made to look like a fool here.
It's sports.
All around the clock. Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's like a 24-hour cooking network or an all-music channel. Ridiculous. That's really dumb. Seriously, this thing is going to be a financial and cultural disaster. Sports Center. Think about that. That's just dumb.
Thanks for coming in, Mr. Burgundy. I think that's it. Obviously, we're not going to be hiring you.
Good. I don't want anything to do with this place. This place is run by a bunch of children.
That's a Ron Burgundy.
That's uncalled for. Steve, get him.
His rare, just unsurfaced 1979 audition tape for SportsCenter. By the way, the movie comes out December 20th, 2013. I'm in line already.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
By the way, in addition to doing his own late afternoon show here on K-Rock, our friend Ted Stryker, who's filling in for Ralph Graham with the Showbiz Beat, is going to be on the red carpet again, you guys, for the American Music Awards coming up later this month.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. That's cool.
Somehow they said, you're going to do the red carpet for the fourth year in a row. I'm like, are you sure you got the right guy? I think I'm going to ruin it completely. Justin Timberlake's going to perform this year at the AMAs, wow. And that's the first time he's done that.
First All time right. he's ever performed, yeah. And this is what's the date on that, Ted? Do you know?
November 24th, I believe. It's one of the last Sundays in November.
All right, and you're going to be on Channel 7 then in the afternoon on the red carpet ahead of the show.
I'm not sure what channel, but I know I'm working with Lance Bass, and he and I are, you know, what a nice man that guy is.
You He's guys like, are a team.
Well, I don't know. We're Let's not that honest. Much of a team, but, you know, we work in our little world, and you're like, I'm never going to meet Lance Bass. And then you meet like, oh, that guy's kind of really cool. Yeah. Cool dude. So well,
something's wrong with that whole story. I don't know what it is yet. Somebody's going to realize what's going
dates,
on.
I don't know dates, times, channels. I don't know anything.
You know, Lance Bass is nice. Lance is engaged to be married, as you know, and he's the one, right? He's the one who's getting married. And
yes.
He's probably looking for a DJ for his wedding, so maybe you could finagle your way in there and you could really hang out with the superstars.
I think Richard Blade's got that one locked in.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
I love Richard. By the way, I saw Richard Blade at Depeche Mode. It looks the exact same. His smile still ear to ear.
He'll never change.
He will not. All right. I know you guys love American Horror Story. So there's a serious catfight brewing on the set, according to the National Enquirer. So sources say that Jessica Lange was very happy when Kathy Bates was added to the cast, but now is feeling a little slighted since Angela Bassett joined the party as well. Apparently, Jessica feels like she's being pushed out of the job, particularly because the creator also wants to add Joan Collins and Sissy Spacek as regulars.
So, too many actresses, not enough lines, I would imagine, per girl. That's what's going on here, right?
Too many actresses and too many big-time actresses.
Yeah, oh, you think the big time is the part that worries her? Somebody's...
I think stealing a little bit of the thunder there. But maybe. Jessica Lange is an Academy Award winner, is she not?
Yes, and she's been the star of every season so far of that.
Yeah. Yes, she has. Huh. All right, there's one person in this room that watches the CW more than anybody. And that, of course, is Kevin.
Kevin!
Yeah, I do.
So, yay! Kevin,
How excited are you that the original series called The Originals, Rain, and The Tomorrow People have all been picked up for full seasons?
Two or three of those. I'm very excited.
I bet you love The Tomorrow People because it's about teleportation.
I do.
Right? Okay. And the other one you like is what?
I like Arrow, and then I like The Originals.
Now, how do you get into the CW? Is a great network, and they have beautiful people that work on the network. How do you watch them? Why, and how do you get into them?
It's all beautiful people, first of all.
Mm-hmm. You're not exactly in the demo. I mean, they're going for teenage girls,
says
right?
This guy who loves Taylor Swift. F you. Yes, they are going for teenage girls. I don't know.
So you're just at home, you're going around the channels.
I like shows
no
on the
Laker
CW.
Game, I would like to go to the
right,
CW.
Right. The
no
sports,
Galaxy
sports,
game.
Right.
Then you're going to
no
go
FC Barcelona,
CW.
Right. Right to CW, see what's going on.
All right.
Are you also watching Heart of Dixie, Mr. CW? Is that one
not,
of your shows?
Yes. I'm not watching.
Why not? It's
not
got the beautiful Rachel Bilson on it. Why not?
I'm not even aware of that show. I don't know.
Heart of what, Bean?
Heart of Dixie? Isn't that the show, Lisa?
Yes, that's the
that's
show.
That's on the CW,
Rachel
right?
Bilson.
He said Dixie.
Okay, Dixie.
Yeah.
Dixie.
Okay, just so you know.
I love Rachel Bilson.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
Oh, man.
We all do.
Any dings around here? What's going on? There
okay.
we go. Thank you. Janet Jameson claimed, and she said she would never get back into porn. No way I'm going to do it. I'm never spreading my legs. That's what she said. So, A, she is getting back into the business for money reasons.
Right.
And she said she's doing it for her family.
Oh.
And she has got a ton of plastic surgery going on, and they just found in a storage facility, perfect timing for this, of course, a lot of her old porn gear that they're going to put up for auction. Some of this porn gear, and Kevin, do you collect porn gear?
I do not.
Okay.
Thanks for asking, though.
Well, a CW porn gear.
How dare you?
No, I'm sorry. They're GIMP masks, plural, are being sold.
Okay.
A used monkey dildo. And G-strings, one that she used with Janine in a movie that she did with Janine. And Janine is the lady on the cover of the old Blink-182 album.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I don't think I'm down with with these two words being mixed. Porn and used.
You don't want anything to do with that.
I don't think
so. You can boil those things. They're fine.
Imagine buying new
homes. Can't I get new ones available? Yeah.
Right. Can't I get a new monkey?
Some people would be excited.
But the thing is, you want it used because it's got the Jenna Jameson stamp on it. It's been used in the movies. It's like buying something from Lost TV
not
show Lost.
That.
You want their outfits. You want their Jeeps.
Not into
You
that.
Want their monkey dildos.
Not
None
into
of that.
Their monkey dildos.
All right. Disney Theatrical Productions has announced it plans to collaborate with William Goldman on a stage work. So they're going to do a play, a musical, on his 1973 fairy tale, The Princess Bride.
Oh, I love it.
Now, when you saw that movie, Lisa May, which came out in 1987,
yes.
Were you going with a boy at the time? Did he take you? Because it's one of those stories like, oh, I'm going to be so in love with whoever is with me at this movie.
I don't think I did see it with a boy.
Okay.
Girl?
Maybe.
Yeah!
We know what got brought out after that. GIMP masks and used monkey dildos. Yeah.
It was so romantic that it ruined men for me because nobody's that romantic.
How dare you?
Come
you
on. You're looking at someone that's like that.
Really?
Beer mug right over there. Right over there. Sure. Cary Elwes. I loved him in that movie. I like Cary Elwes in general. And, you know, let's go to some birthdays here. Celebrating a birthday today is Radha Mitchell is 40. Ryan Gosling is 33. Megan Mullally is 55. Anne Hathaway is 31. Ariane Celeste is 28. Wallace Shawn from The Princess Bride is 70 today. And thank you, Kevin and Bean, so much for having me on. I'm so excited I get to be on Kevin and Bean and ruin the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Stryker. Always a good time to have
thank
you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning we have Jensen Karp in studio. He is our rap correspondent.
Okay.
A lot of people may not know that we have that. We do. We also have Scott Mason. I guess tomorrow's the one-year anniversary of Bean giving his kidney.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
To Scott Mason. And Bean has been unable to get a hold of him since. What's up with that?
It's funny that Ted just mentioned the TV show Lost because you remember that John Locke had his father come back into his life just long enough to get a kidney to save his life and then just vanished.
That's what
I'm John Locke now. I'm just sitting around just looking at the phone just going, we used to be friends.
Give you a chance to hang out with the cast of The Amazing Spider-Man 2. We've got a copy of Call of Duty Ghosts, the Prestige Edition tomorrow. And also Jeff Probst will join us, the host of Survivor and an author in his own right. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.